You're listening to SBS News.
In the aftermath of a series of bomb attacks on three churches in the Indonesian city of Surabaya, the horrifying reality gradually became clear. Young children were among the perpetrators. A mother and her two daughters, just 12 and 9 years old, blew themselves up at one location, while the family's father and his teenage sons targeted two others. It was the first successful deadly attack by a woman and children in the majority Muslim country. Indonesian President Joko Widodo was appalled.
This terrorism act is barbaric and beyond the limit of humanity, causing victims among society, the police, and even innocent children, including perpetrators who used two children aged around 10 years old.
The following day, a family of five attacked a police station in the same city, detonating their explosives while riding motorbikes. Their 8-year-old daughter survived, while 10 people were injured. Both attacks have been linked to Islamist extremism. The families are believed to have known each other. Professor of Global Islamic Politics at Deakin University, Greg Barton, says the use of children is a cruel but effective tactic.
This idea of being provocative so that we get angry and do something reckless works for terrorists, even when it comes to something as callous as using children and women as suicide bombers.
Indonesia has been struggling to deal with the issue of fighters returning from fighting in conflicts overseas, a number Professor Barton estimates could be as high as 500. Co-director of RMIT University's Human Security and Disasters Research Program, Professor Jeff Lewis, speculates that the increase in activity in Indonesia is mirroring events in the Middle East. He says the attacks should serve as a wake-up call for global security policy.
I think what this will mean in terms of policy and security processes is that they'll now be more alert to the issue of children. Just because someone is a family member or has children, that doesn't at all mean that they're going to be immune to the attraction of extremist violence.
And, says Professor Barton, high-profile acts like those in Surabaya can inspire copycats.
In the case of families and children being used in this fashion, as outrageous and callous as it is, unfortunately, in some circles, it's likely to inspire copycat episodes, and this is just going to add to the level of complexity for security authorities and community workers in anticipating where the threats are and knowing how to respond to them.
Terror groups such as IS and Boko Haram have previously indoctrinated children and young people to take on extremist ideas and carry out attacks. Australia has seen similar incidents too, including the shooting of a civilian police staffer by a 15-year-old boy in Parramatta in 2015. But Professor Lewis thinks these latest attacks might not get the desired reaction among the Indonesian public.
Increasingly, as I say, there's been a growing sense in which these groups are quite radical and extremist and not as religious and certainly not as devout as they like to promote themselves. And I think that the use of children and the presence of a whole family being involved in a suicide attack like this, even where there might be some sympathy for their cause, I think this is going to cause considerable discontent and concern amongst the average Indonesian.
Professor Lewis says while terrorism is a global issue, no one can really predict what will happen next.
Anything is possible with these groups. If they can do this to their own children, then they are capable of any kind of menace. I really don't know. I don't think any of us really knows, but we can only speculate on the kind of cruelty and viciousness that these people can assert when they want to do so.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, or Wooshka.